don't tell me to snap anything. If anyone tells me to snap achievements, I will fucking throw you out a window. Snap anything on the Xbox. It's fucking useless.
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield. A shame for this place!
In the door to somebody's house and said, do you know what the English language is? Come with me.
Can you speak really quickly?
Yeah. It's like when an FBI agent like rips open a car door in a cop show. They're like, I need this car. Well, how about fuck you?
It's time for the Minute of Strike podcast. Hey guys, what's up? We're having a good time talking, and then a podcast started. I don't know what happened there.
Ah, back it. No time for me to go.
Yeah,
I'm done talking now.
That's your host, Brandon.
I'm not talking.
It's your host, Brandon Jones. I'm here with Hoss, and special friend of the show, Gus, is
what's
here.
Up?
Been a while since you've been on, Gus.
Yeah, I think it was before when was I here last? PAX Prime? Before PAX Prime, maybe?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Jesus Christ. Yeah,
so, Gus, are you ready to be here another 23 hours and 59 minutes?
Yeah.
is that how long we're doing this?
Oh, man, I'm in trouble.
We're live streaming now!
Oh, Lord. Don't go to our live stream. There's nothing there. So. I don't have that set up. I don't have a Justin TV account, so... I apologize. Mm. But anyway,
it's called Twitch
now, moron.
Whatever.
You can do this on Twitch. Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
All anybody would see is just me being fat in my living room.
Is Justin TV not even a thing anymore?
No, they changed it to Twitch.
Oh, that is Twitch.
I thought they completely rebranded it all. It's the same thing.
I think they just took all the game-related stuff and ported it over to Twitch. I think JTV's still around.
Oh, okay. Well, all right then.
But it's, like, not gaming-related.
Well, it's all about this guy named Justin and his television.
And his television. It's pretty amazing. It's very interesting. I don't know how it spawned this long.
Really in-depth tutorial videos of how to turn it on, how to turn it off.
He gets a new TV about every month from all that ad revenue. It's crazy.
This month I got a Samsung.
Halo ODST came out.
It's a weird segue.
There's no segue for that. I'm just going right into it.
Speaking of orbital drop shock troopers.
Oh, Hoss. What's this all about?
All right, so Halo 3 ODST. If you remember, for fans of the podcast, back last year around Christmas time, I was super pumped about the Halo Master Chief Collection that was coming out for the Xbox One, which collected Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4. Did not include ODST or Reach.
Okay.
But the collection came out, had some problems. More than a few. So what they decided to do to kind of as a make good is they decided to take 7 months to fix the game.
Right.
So they did that. And... then to also try to actually make up for it, they said they were going to give everybody that played the game before December 19th Halo 3 ODST.
Okay.
Which is one of the non-Master Chief-oriented Halo games. It's your just like the Halo 3 and Halo 4 were. It's 1080p, 60 frames per second up-res. The frame rate in it is fairly good. I have a few issues with it. Mm. I've had some frame rate drops.
Okay.
It's a little bit uneven here and there. The up-resing isn't quite as shocking as like Halo 3 was. I love the way that Halo 3 looks in that collection.
Okay.
I think adding just that extra level of polish to that game, I think it looks incredible.
Right.
And this doesn't look bad by any stretch of the imagination, and the frame rate drops aren't that consistent. The big issue that I have with this is that there's no firefight mode in it.
Okay. Is that a big
Which
deal?
Was the best part of the game.
Okay.
Well. It's where they introduced firefight mode. This was the first game that it was in, and it's arguably the only game in the series that has firefight that it's any good.
Okay. Like I said before, they weren't going to put firefight in it in the first place, I think, but... it's just going to be single player. I do remember them saying something.
And yeah, I I'm not mad. I mean, they gave it away for free. And if you're anybody who played the game after December 19th, like all these people that are getting it for free now for buying a system,
right?
The white ones are out now. Have you seen those?
The white ones?
Yeah.
I've not seen those.
What is it with you and white exactly?
I'm racist.
Well, I'm glad you're
No, I'll be completely honest. I listen to a lot of hip hop.
Mm-hmm. They do like to wear white.
I'm really into, like, you know, basketball shoes and just all the it's just all True. White fucking everything.
Yeah, got it.
I just like I like fucking white phones.
Looks clean.
I owned a white television in college.
Yeah.
That I paid way too much for because it was white. but yeah, like I like weird shit. All right. And white is different. Like I almost bought I have a PS4. Mm-hmm. I almost bought a white PS4 the other day. There was one on Craigslist. It was like $300. I was like, it's white.
it's not the standard black.
I like
the consoles made in.
I like having different shit. I'm wearing mint green shoes right now.
That's true. Yeah, they are very... They are very Miami University. Yeah.
They are very fucking hip hop. but yeah, I don't know.
They're very Spring Break.
They're very Aquaman.
So yeah, I'll steer this back on track here. If you're anybody who played the game after December 19th, starting like in the next week or two, I don't think they've specifically said when, you'll be able to buy the ODST edition for $5.
Yeah.
So even if you're somebody who didn't get the game until later, it's not a big deal. It's $5 for what's probably my favorite single-player Halo experience.
Right.
I never finished that game on Legendary.
Totally have.
That is the only FPS Halo that I have not played on Legendary.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah,
I played
I'll
that.
I'll have to get cracking on that.
I played that on Legendary in co-op when it first came out with Josh. Me and him drank about 64 beers or so and beat that game in one sitting. And near the end of it, I could barely feel my legs. But we beat it. I'm not really sure what happens at the end of that game.
Because it was all kind of a haze.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
Something about a highway and a fight at the end. And
there
yeah.
was a robot or something.
You ride off on a snowmobile with Otacon.
Nathan Fillion was there. I don't know. But yeah, so I kind of pumped about
that.
David?
Yeah,
David Hayter was there.
Yeah.
David Hayter.
Metal Gear. So yeah, I played up through the second flashback sequence yesterday. Oh shit, the other thing is that. So they added 1,000 achievement points for this.
Uh-huh.
That brings that game up to 6,000 achievement points.
Oh wow. There you go.
Because there's 1,000 for every individual game, and then they have 1,000 points that are spread across all the games.
Okay.
So it's like kill 1,000 grunts in anything, that kind of thing.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. And also, some of those 1,000 are Spartan Ops, right? I think some of those extra 1,000 are for Spartan
Ops. Maybe?
I think
remember.
They are.
Remember.
Because they put Spartan Ops in there.
Yeah, I kind of fell out of it once I got like the legendary speedrun achievement for Halo CE, and I was like,
Chivos!
You know, like I have a really hard time on that system, caring about achievement points. Like I still kind of like them.
Yeah, I'm kind of falling the same way myself.
They're too separate. Hmm. When I look at my friends list, it doesn't just shoot a big ass number at me. And looking at achievements anymore, don't tell me to snap anything. If anyone tells me to snap achievements, I will fucking throw you out a window. Snap, never what? Snap anything on the Xbox. It's fucking useless.
Snapping doesn't work at all?
I hate it because it makes the fucking image smaller.
Yeah, it does.
Fucking hate that.
So going snap TV doesn't work.
Yeah, and fucking, and if you want to go look at your achievements, you have to go into the achievement app, and it's this huge thing, and they break out Xbox One from Xbox 360, and I don't like it. The nice thing about the 360, when you boot it up, you go to your achievement score, it pulls up a big-ass list.
Yeah.
You want to look at what the individual achievements were you got in a specific game? Click on it.
Click on that.
And this thing, it's like they worry about having bigger achievement pictures and higher quality images and all this other... And it just leads to it being slow.
Yeah.
Right.
And shitty.
Cumbersome.
I thought the achievement artwork was pretty cool at first, but then I'm kind of like, I don't really care.
What am I going
to
look at this?
They're pump, pop, it's there. And I have to keep going Xbox, snap achievements to see what I don't have left because I don't want to leave the game.
Yeah.
And it just squashes the new image down.
Never snap anything.
Never snap
anything. I just got down to I'm down to the last four achievements in Rayman Legends.
Xbox, snap fingers.
I want to meet Phil Spencer and wear a shirt to go meet him that says never snap anything. And also one that says make your box smaller and another one that says redesign that interface, you asshole.
Just three shirts, you take them off.
This is not Windows 8.
I'll just rip them like Hogan just every time.
You just strip them consecutively. Just so you get this message.
Oh, come here.
But I guess that's Halo ODST, the new release and everything for the new Xbox One new release anniversary Mega Edition Halo jack off thing, whatever.
6,000 achievement points.
There you go.
6,000 achievements.
Other bit of news we have today.
They announced a new Monster Hunter.
New Monster Hunter was announced today. What do we got to say about that?
Next.
And that's all I have to say.
That's all anybody has to say about it.
I don't know what to say about Monster Hunter. I've never played it. Don't ever intend to play it.
It's for the DS.
Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter is, I like to call it, the only reason Capcom's still open and the only reason that the 3DS is selling it all. That's it.
People do enjoy that game.
Which, the new 3DS or just the 3DS? And
kind of period.
Yeah, period.
I held one of those.
That's more bad marketing on Nintendo's part. Because kids will say, I want the new 3DS, but you just got a new 3DS. No, the new 3DS.
No, the new one.
Bad marketing games.
Since Wii U have I been that underwhelmed.
Yeah.
Well, I think they were very conscious in this that, hey, they wanted you to know that it's still the same thing that you like with more features, and because also in the next 12 to 18 months, they're going to be announcing a new platform. I mean, they've said several times that we're working on something that's coming.
Yeah.
I think at E3 this year, we may see it.
Is it going to be the new Wii Glove? Is it going to be like the Power Glove, but for the Wii? I think that'll be the new one.
They technically made, Wii Gloves. They made, those condoms that went on the controllers.
It's going to be the Wii Me.
The Wii Me.
The Wii Me.
The Wii Me.
Wii Me sounds like a... fucking sexual maneuver.
Yeah, it does sound like that. Yeah. So does Wii U.
Or a good wrestling gimmick.
Yeah, or the Mii, or the Miiverse.
His name is Seamus Weemy.
Seamus Weemy.
Oh, it's the Weemy. Oh, God, JR.
He's gonna give you the Devil Driver.
Oh man, a little bit of Schmozcast news. I'm gonna throw that in here just because we're kind of amalgam that stuff. It is now the Wednesday Night Wars, as we have heard.
Dude, yeah. We're going to talk about this for 5 minutes. All right.
Dude, yeah.
ROH.
Dude, yeah.
ROH is now on the same channel as TNA, Destination America.
Same night.
In a wrestling block.
In the NXT time slot.
Yeah, in the NXT's time slot. So now on Wednesdays, we have NXT being pulled out on Netflix, or not, Hulu and the network.
I believe to see it on Wednesday, you can only see it on the network.
Yeah.
It doesn't go up until Thursday morning.
Thursday morning
on Hulu.
That's fine. ROH on Destination America, followed by TNA. on Destination America.
Yeah, you're going to get three fat hours if you tune into Destination America on Wednesday, starting on June 3rd.
June 3rd, I believe, yes.
Yeah, you'll get an hour of ROH and then 2 hours of TNA, which is the best wrestling program on television right now.
And also, it's not very readily available, but on El Rey Network, you also get Lucha Underground on Wednesday.
Oh, shit, I forgot about Lucha.
Yeah, so it's the four different shows. Technically, two of them are not competing. They are working in tandem. But it's like the new battle for Wednesday in the wrestling wars. It's very bizarre. Because there's WWE on Monday doing nothing. Or doing their thing.
Lucha's okay.
Yeah.
Every time I watch it, like, you know, people are like, watch this specific match. Or, like, watch this week's episode.
Yeah.
I watch it, I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still Wrestling Society X, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, like they make no bones about what they're doing. It's like the in-betweens are not, like, the basic backstage interactions that you get. Like, oh, interviews here. No, it's an actual produced movie that is also sort of directed in some parts by Robert Rodriguez.
I hate the set.
It's like, yeah, you know,
I hate the set.
Do you hate the whole set?
Like, I hate it.
Where the ring is and everything?
Oh yeah.
Really? Why do you I dislike it? I don't mind it at all.
Looks like a shitty warehouse.
Well, yeah, that's the point.
I don't fucking like that.
I think it's because it's in a shitty warehouse.
It looks like they filmed it in the warehouse where the Raw is War entrance video was filmed in 1997.
Yeah. I don't mind that. Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that, you know. El Patron was thrown through an office window by Johnny Mundo last week. It was pretty alright.
Every time I hear somebody say something horrible about El Patron, I'm always like, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he
Everybody
is.
Everybody really likes him.
Alberto El Patron, you know.
Probably the snuggest worker I've seen currently.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing about Lucha Underground...
Like the side of JBL.
Apart from having some really great wrestlers, the best thing Lucha Underground has is Matt Stryker as commentator. Because there's no better commentator on the air right now. Sorry, there's not. Because Lawler's phoning it in. Michael Cole has never been great. JBL dicks around too much.
What's Dick Worley? What's his name? The guy that's on SmackDown now? Sam?
No idea.
Munchausen.
Ask me how long it's been since I watched SmackDown.
The black guy that used to be on NXT.
Okay, that guy. I don't know what his name is. Yeah.
Dirk McGirt.
Dirk, yeah, that's it. Like, so yeah.
He's okay. I like him.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of the wrestling news. A little weird. Apparently, TNA talent was not told that this block was happening.
Yeah, that was the best thing. All right, so here's what happens.
Okay.
MVP, Montel Vontavious Porter, former WWE talent in TNA right now, got suspended over this. So nobody told the TNA wrestlers, nobody from management told the TNA wrestlers that, hey, today at 1 o'clock, ROH is going to be announcing that they're opening us up for us on Wednesdays. Which, in the wrestling world, being next to each other, no matter who opens and who closes, it's competition and they don't like each other.
Right.
It's just the way that it is, because there's only so much money to go around, so they're real territorial.
Yeah.
Well, and then to not tell your talent, there's like all these ROH guys like, we're going to be on TV, and all these TNA guys going, what the fuck does that mean? There's been all these rumors that they're going to cancel TNA.
Oh, yeah?
And, oh, yeah, so like, MVP's like, so I just got invited to a confidential conference call here in like 20 minutes. I'll tell you exactly what they say. And just got super pissed, so he just started saying everything that management had told him after the release, because he's like, well, if he didn't have the common courtesy to tell me before I found out on Twitter, you know, I don't have to honor your confidentiality agreement, so apparently they suspended him for that. So.
Yeah.
Shocker!
He released a video about it recently. And
session.
He released a little video session about it. I posted it on our Facebook. He was very much not against ROH or the deal.
No.
But he was just kind of like, hey, you could have told us. That's all. Like, it's like, seriously, like, because we are is like his brand and a lot of the wrestlers' brands, they're very much their own thing, and they're business partners with TNA to help the brand grow. They're not under contracts as strict as they used to be because they don't have the money, obviously. So it's like,
So there's independent contractors.
Yeah, so it's like there's common courtesy here. That's like, yeah, clearly you don't have to fucking tell us because you didn't. But, you know, it's just a common courtesy. And then Shelton Benjamin shows up at the end of the thing with fried chicken, and I thought that was funny. So
Shelton Benjamin's pretty awesome.
Shelton Benjamin's hilarious because, as I've known it, ever since he trained here at OVW, he eats like garbage. Mm-hmm. Like, just utter trash goes into his mouth all the time, and he doesn't gain an ounce. And other wrestlers hate him for it. Like, I saw him eat an entire sleeve of Oreos in one sitting. It was disgusting.
The legends I've heard of Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, oh yeah, because Tommy Dreamer's fat.
Yeah. Tommy Dreamer ate 4 chickens.
Oh yeah, I'll bet. See,
like, 4 chickens. Like, I'm afraid to ask if they were even cooked.
That was his gimmick in WWE for a little bit.
Just gross people out.
Just grossing people out. He'd go and, like, eat shit out of the garbage, like, for real. And, yeah, it was just, like, really disgusting. So, you know. Yeah, but that's all we got to say about wrestling right now. All right,
yeah, let's move on from wrestling.
Moving on from wrestling, back to video games.
Video games? What?
Yeah, video games.
Okay, we'll talk about what you've been playing here in a little bit.
Yeah.
I have a story.
You do have a story.
Okay. So I ground the podcast, I don't know if you listened to this episode, it was a couple months ago. I ground the podcast to a halt. To share my story of talking to Sony support.
Yes.
Oh boy. Tell us, Hoss, what happened with Sony support?
So I won't recap what I specifically talk about, but go back, I think it was about 4 or 5 episodes ago.
Yeah.
I tell my experience of being on the phone for 2 hours with Sony support and them accusing me of being stupid.
Go click the link. If you're on our page, go click the link below. It'll be there. So
can I tell what it is by the name of the episode?
What's that?
Can I tell what it is by the name of the episode?
Oh, yeah, easily, I think. Okay. I think you can
play, okay. I'm in the opening yelling.
Yeah.
So if you okay. If for some reason it's not in the title, we'll put a direct link in the...
Yeah, it'll be below this. If you're on our page, go underneath. It's right there.
So. Yeah. So, these people insulted me. These people implied that I was stupid in a lot of ways. So I get an email about 4 days ago.
Okay.
In response to my complaint, mm-hmm, of the treatment that I had received.
Yes.
And the poor customer service experience that I had had.
Regarding Spelunky.
Yes, regarding my purchase of Spelunky.
I love that it's the time that's the game. Like, just, not because it's a bad game, but just because it has a funny title.
Long story short, they gave me Spelunky.
They gave you Spelunky, did they? Okay, there you go.
Now I own Spelunky.
You think that call, like, made it around the office? This guy's really mad.
It's probably in the training video somewhere.
I feel like somebody who got a hold of this audio had just read the Fred Factor. Anyway, we need to be a Fred for this guy.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what the Fred Factor is, it's a professional development thing. Let's just move on.
Yawn. Moving on.
What you been playing?
Yeah. But wait, so that's the whole story? Is they gave you Spelunky?
They sent me an email that said, here you go.
That's it?
And then I downloaded it, and then I played it.
So then it's resolved, then.
That's the resolution.
That was the worst. This is like the worst. It was like such a build-up for this, and there was nothing there.
Oh, I got a story. They gave me a game. The game was boring.
No, they didn't give me anything. They gave me back what was mine.
You bought it. Yeah.
So you didn't pay for that.
So you didn't have to open up a new account. You didn't, obviously, because you weren't going to do that anyway.
No, I was never going to do that.
Yeah, I don't know why. Okay, so, yeah. All right, then.
Go back and listen to that podcast.
Yeah, go
do that.
Go back
for that to be the resolution, to me, there's no end of funny in that.
Yeah, it is pretty good after all that. So there you go. All right. Gus, what you been playing?
I've been diligently plowing my way through the Telltale's Game of Thrones series.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Very awesome. Very well written. Some people are liking it better than the TV series right now. I don't care. I think the TV series is awesome. I'm still watching it.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
I've never seen an episode of it. Never will.
Yep. No, it's all right.
I don't expect Hoss to ever watch that show ever.
I don't like chairs. I don't like games.
I thought you loved chairs. You love folding chairs. What if it was Game of Folding Chairs?
Game of Folding Chairs.
It'd be fucking awesome. It'd be that Cactus Jack fucking match where you're like, give me a chair, and everybody threw a chair in.
It's going to go back into wrestling, isn't it? Game of Folding
Chairs.
All right.
All right.
How's
that?
It's good.
Is it on par with the Wolf Among Us Walking Dead quality? Or?
Yes, I very much think so.
I heard that Borderlands thing is super uneven.
I have not played it. I did manage to get a hold of when I was at PAX East. I was at the creators of Telltale were there, and they did the keynote this year. And those that were in attendance, myself included, they kind of were saying like, "Oh, y'all should go get the Telltale Games Collection." I'm kind of hitting on it jokingly on stage. They say, "Well, they can't buy it if they're sitting here." So, well, hey, you know what? There's a bunch of cards being passed around. We're gonna give it to you.
Oh wow!
The entire damn Telltale Games collection is now mine for free. It's like $160 of games.
Wow! Then Oporah showed up with a box.
Right.
And
pouring
bees out of it.
You get
bees are coming.
Not the bees.
Not the bees.
Not the bees in my eyes. In my eyes. God.
So what else you been playing?
Let's see.
Have you played The Wolf Among Us yet?
Oh, God, yeah. Finished
it. Is that one of the greatest games you've ever played?
A long time ago. That's amazing.
It's pretty hard.
One of the greatest.
I've only played chapter one, and it was pretty great.
You need to keep going.
Yeah, I need to keep going with that.
You must continue. That is one of the greatest games of last year.
There you go. Boom.
One of my favorite narrative experiences I've ever had.
Nice.
Awesome.
And it doesn't look like something that I would like. You can look at that and go, it's based on a comic book.
Yeah. I don't know what.
It's cel-shaded. It's based on a comic book.
There is no predestined criteria for what you will enjoy, Hoss. I just don't think there is. Like, it just, like, sometimes it'll be like, there's no way he's going to like that. That game was great. What the fuck?
Great.
Like when I'm happy when you enjoy a game. Don't get me wrong, because people think you hate everything. But you don't.
I feel like I'm a little bit judged by, I get a lot of listener emails.
Okay, yeah.
I do. I get a lot.
Targeted by the National Pigeonholing Committee quite a bit.
I get text messages, I get Facebook, I get tweeted at. Yeah. I love all the feedback that I get. Starting to think that everybody thinks that this is a gimmick.
It's not a gimmick. It is not. This is 100% true. Yes. You turn it up a little bit. But actually, only a little bit. It's not even like it's like from like a 7 to a 9. It's it's just like there are. We're actually discussing this today. You've always had a style about you, and it's never been somebody else's. It's all what you enjoy is what you enjoy, and that's just all there is to it.
Yeah, and I try to make, whenever I give a positive recommendation for anything, I'm like, hey, your experience may be entirely different.
Exactly.
That's why, like, whenever we talk about games, like today's game we're going to be talking about is Metal Gear.
Yes.
Whenever I talk about video games, I try to make sure that I'm very specific about mechanics and gameplay and frame rate and specifics, because those are the things that are not colored by opinion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can say a game looks bad. What does that mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, I had a friend who kept saying, like, man, I hate Borderlands. I think it looks terrible. I hate the way it looks. It's just, the graphics are awful. And what he finally got at, after me continuing to poke him on this issue for months, he was finally like, I don't like that it looks like a cartoon. I was like, well, just say that.
It doesn't look bad. It's very stylized and
poignant.
You just
don't enjoy that art style.
You don't like how it looks. Yeah, the art style you don't like. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that makes sense.
What else have you been playing?
I have been playing a glor-del-ton-lot thing, whatever. I have been playing a lot of Kerbal Space Program.
God, Kerbal?
A lot of Kerbal Space Program. I told myself I would finally play the damn thing because I bought it in the last Steam sale, like, last year.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, this looks a lot of fun. I kind of want to get into it, but I knew I wouldn't play anything else as soon as I got started on it, and I was right.
Have you made it to space?
Oh, I've made it to space and beyond. I've got...
you hear that, Eric? He got out of the upper atmosphere, you son of a bitch!
You liar!
At first, I was just toying around in just low orbit, and then I went, you know what? I kind of want to go to the moon, but I don't really know how to do it. And I got a bunch of friends that play it, and they kind of taught me how.
How the fuck do you get back from the moon?
As far as being... Moon is hard to land on and return from. It's easy to get to, though.
The one thing...
You can hit it real quick.
We've got so many dead astronauts
It's a pretty big target. You can hit it pretty easily.
Yeah, we got so many Kerbals.
I can go in-depth into this, but you probably don't want me to.
Well, my question is, like... I know that, like, the super, you know, low gravity on the moon and bullshit like that and everything. The thing that gets me is that... You start with a spaceship that's right. Got all these fuel pods and all these rockets.
Yeah.
And as it gets up into the upper atmosphere, it continues to shed all of this gear. How the fuck do they have enough gas to get back?
Yeah.
I know it just doesn't take much out there.
You have to have enough what we call delta V or change in velocity in order to, that your aircraft, your spacecraft can do.
I only fly United.
I have enough,
just raise my fist in the air over that, Jim.
Yep.
Sure your spacecraft has to have about a good ballpark, let's say 7,000 to about 7,500 delta V in the tanks to do it, to get there and back. It's going to take you, it takes a lot more to get back from the moon than you think it does. Mm. Unfortunately, the game doesn't have any stock tool that tells you how much change of velocity that your spacecraft can do.
Oh.
Yeah, it has to be done with a mod, which is one of the most popular mods out there. It's called Kerbal Engineer Redux. It's a free mod. It's the most popular one.
Right. So this tells you a stat you absolutely need?
You pretty much...
You're going to need that?
You can calculate this stuff on paper.
Oh, wow.
As a matter of fact, most people were doing it before this stuff was available, before these mods were available.
Right.
And, It's not a hard equation. It's not because you can do the equation with the information you're given in the assembly building.
Okay.
But it's if you don't like math, it's not a lot of fun.
I don't like math all that much.
But Kerbin, the starting planet, the analog for Earth, has two moons. It's got the moon, the one that we all know of, and the one beyond it, Mimas, the little green thing that looks like a snow cone.
Mm.
That floats.
They've only got corn left.
There's only corn.
Somehow nobody has diabetes.
So, of course. What is with that in sci-fi, by the way? I hate to get on a tangent here, but in sci-fi, there's always like that, like, oh, in the future, all we have is one type of food. Like that dragon movie where all they had was tomatoes.
You know what movie fucking sucks? Like, Interstellar.
Yeah, that's
the movie is fucking awful.
I have not seen. You know, in the Kerbal Space Program, you're playing community, a lot of people love that movie. And I'm like, I haven't seen it, and I'm reluctant to see it because I know how it ends. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
The thing I'll tell you is that, like, just in the same way as Inception, and I understand that there are a lot of people who really enjoy Inception, and that's perfectly fine. You can like whatever terrible thing you want. That's okay. But... this has the same problems as Inception. Nolan just does this. He'll write something, mm-hmm. and then when it comes down to him having to explain why something is a way,
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah.
he just skips that
he
part.
He skips that
right.
part.
And
yeah.
it's just, all right, so...
I'll make something up.
Every kind of food on the planet is gone.
Yeah.
All we can grow is corn.
Yeah.
So all you have to eat is corn. How does everyone not have crippling diabetes? That is just sugar.
Yeah.
That is all that is in corn.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just there are all these weird slices in that film. And like the whole end sequence is positioned so far up its own ass. Like, I'll tell you what, watch it next time you're here.
Okay.
We'll do kind of a spoiler cast for Interstellar.
We
kind of
already did this at Nate's, though. like 3 weeks ago. We already did this thing.
Did we talk about it on this?
Yes!
Thing? I thought we weren't recording when we talked.
We were totally recording when we talked
about
it.
Well, we're not going to talk about it on air, but you watch it and then we'll talk about it. Fuck these people.
A lot of them don't like... Right. A lot of the guys at Kerbal don't like gravity. The movie with
Sigourney Weaver. No.
Sandra Bullock,
that's it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the premise.
Oh, yeah.
Of just, yeah. I don't like being stuck to the ground.
you know.
I thought the movie was kind of boring.
I never saw it either. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the
I don't know. I don't
four think, action scenes in that movie are really good.
Yeah, I feel like people who are really into space programs don't realize that a real space program movie would not make a good movie, because like literally, like you even have to ham up the Apollo mission, like, you know, for it, because the Apollo mission was very much like very daring and all that stuff. But Apollo 13 is very Hollywooded up, because
I've never seen it.
You can't not Hollywood it. You know,
it's got Tom Hanks in it.
It's got Tom Hanks.
So yeah. I'm not gonna watch it.
Bit about Thornton. You know, like,
but it does have Lieutenant Dan in it, right?
It does have Lieutenant Dan.
I might watch it.
Here's the name. Yep.
Why don't you like Tom Hanks?
He's a dick.
What? He's like the nicest person in Hollywood.
It's like his face that's kind of the problem. No, for real, the reason I don't like Tom Hanks is that, like, he had this huge, huge run in the 90s.
Yes.
And it was just, here is just stock Tom Hanks with another coat of paint on it.
Mm,
and yeah. It's kind of like George Clooney.
Yeah.
Where he just showed, or Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Where he just shows up and he's that guy. Like, yep. With the exception of Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks was just fucking Tom Hanks in the 90s.
Yes, that's all
he
was.
I mean, he wasn't having sex with Tom Hanks, but...
I get what you're saying.
He was playing himself.
He was playing himself.
He was playing with himself.
There's certain guys that
Tom Hanks was playing with himself in the 90s.
There's certain guys that have that certain quality...
Put the shovel down. ...of themselves. Dude, that hole is getting too deep.
Well, it's like, he seems like the nicest person in the world, and everything I've ever heard about him just sounds absolutely fantastic. But fuck Tom Hanks! I don't like watching things he's in.
That's fine.
Yeah. And now, in this movie, he's in an airport!
I like that thing you do. That's pretty much my favorite Tom Hanks movie.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me personally.
No.
I actually kind of like that movie.
Yeah, I like that movie too. I think it's his best movie, honestly. It's very enjoyable, that movie.
Yeah, it's like, even people I hate can be in movies that I really enjoy. Like that fucking, what's his name, like Tim Robbins?
Yeah, Tim Robbins.
He's in Shawshank Redemption and The Hudsucker Proxy, and those are two of the best movies I've ever seen.
There you go.
The Hudsucker Proxy is the weirdest 1950s movie that was ever made in the 1950s.
Fun movies. Fun. Sorry.
Oh, I was trying to finish the thing about Kurt.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I guess we're retired on something else.
We're here.
Fuck Tom Hanks.
Fuck Tom Hanks. I'm with Brad Murray. But, yeah, I really, really enjoy it. It probably has the highest learning curve of any game I have ever seen.
Oh, yeah, easily.
I mean, it uses actual orbital mechanics and physics, you know, to actually play the game. And,
yeah.
The downside of it is, and it just got its 1.0 release a couple of months ago.
Right. The downside is it actually uses physics to play the game.
Well, the downside is that there's really not, I mean, it has tutorials in it, but they're not very good.
Right, yeah.
They're pretty terrible.
So.
It's very much community taught, kind of.
Right. I'm surprised in the 36 years that they've been working on that game that they never really hammered that out.
Four.
That's
three. But,
that seems really popular PC games, though. It's just that communal...
They spent a lot of time working on it because it was a lot of it was community input. They even subcontracted a lot of some of the stuff to the modding community.
Right.
That's in it. Like, the you could drill for resources, like, to refuel your ships.
Sure.
On the other planets.
Right, yeah.
And that was... brought in the stock by one of the modders.
Right.
That was brought in by Squad.
Right.
So, hey, you did this whole thing. The mod was Carbonite, by the way.
Yeah.
And did this whole elaborate resource mod. Can you work on a stock version of this for us?
Oh, wow. Mm.
So, and that's where a lot of the stuff came into it. And all the mechanical parts of the game, the orbital stuff, was input from, like, NASA and physicists.
Right.
There are NASA employees that play this game and love it.
Right. I would imagine so.
So.
It's just them doing their job, but like in a hobby fashion. So.
Can you build a blimp?
Yes.
I would like to take a blimp to the moon.
You can build a blimp.
Take a blimp.
I want to take the slowest fucking blimp ride to the moon.
You just want to...
I've seen guys build some whack stuff. I mean, I've seen guys build like... The game is coded in Unity 4. It's being ported to 5, but beside the point. The physics... Unity physics are not really that good.
Right, yeah.
And so... But there's other... There's other things like... on top of each... On the north... Like, the north and south poles of, like, of each planet... Of most... A couple of the planets...
Yeah.
There's, like, a texture glitch because it's a... cylindrical texture on a spherical model.
Right.
So on the closest planet to the sun, MOHO, which is the analog for Mercury,
right?
On the very north pole, there's this terrain glitch that people call the MOHOLE.
Okay.
And it's just this, drop pit that's like 5 kilometers deep.
Mm. Where the Sarlacc lives.
Yeah.
Right.
The Sarlacc's in there.
And I've watched a guy like build this gigantic bridge
across
it.
That's pretty cool.
They built it in the vehicle assembly building with a mod called Extended VAB, the Extended Hangar or something like that. So like they build it outside, launch it into orbit, and take it to MOHO, and just carefully, over the course of however many hours, it takes them to position the damn thing, because varying throttles on engines is not very easy.
Mm.
And put
it's like the movie Sunshine at a certain point.
Yeah.
Take this huge-ass umbrella.
Well, there you go. But,
this is a pretty neat thing. I mean, there's even procedurally generated asteroids in it.
Mm.
That, with the collaboration of NASA, you can redirect asteroids and stuff.
Sure.
I have a friend of mine that's actually captured an asteroid, put it in Kerbin orbit, and built a space station on it.
Nice. That's pretty right.
I wish another guy just say, "I'm going to go get an asteroid." Flies a shuttle all the way out to grab an asteroid. Puts wings on it, brings it back, and just drops it on the runway.
There you go.
Bruce Willis won't make it back, though, so spoilers.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, but...
And I don't want to miss a thing.
Oh, boy. So that's what Gus has been playing.
That's what I've got right now.
Gus has been playing.
And I've been speedrunning a lot of Halo 1.
Yay.
So I got into that in December.
Haas, what you been playing? You've been playing The Witcher.
I've been getting my witch on.
Yeah.
The Witcher?
The Witcher.
No, there's no witch there.
Witcher.
The Witcher... I don't have time for that game.
I didn't have time for the first one. I got mad at it.
It's...
I want to like that game so badly.
The new Witcher, like, it... And I've said this a couple of times before, like, the first game... is basically an analog for, like, a modern-day Baldur's Gate.
Mm.
You know, very high perspective visually, you know, the way that a lot of the point-and-click gameplay worked on the PC.
Mm.
Very analogous to that type of experience. The second game is basically, like, if Fable, structure-wise, had, like, a really deep combat system. And then this game is trying to be more like Skyrim, in the sense that you don't have one contiguous world in here. I'm fairly certain that you can't just walk from one end to the other. Well, granted, you also need boats and shit, too. But the world in this game is fucking huge.
Mm.
And, you know, I've spent like 20 hours in that game, and I haven't done anything yet. Like, it's all just like drops in the bucket. I'm like, dude,
I'm trying to do a Skyrim.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing that, like, had turned me off about Skyrim. The only open-world stuff that I've finished in recent memory has been Fallout. Just because I have a very strong affinity for the post-apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's cool. And, you know, I don't know where my time with The Witcher is going to go. I may just kind of say, like, I think I'm going to go back to the Mortal Kombat, because that takes 30 seconds. but, yeah, that game is, it's really impressive. It's a little rough on you when you first start out, but if you can grind through to about level 8 or 9, you'll have a fairly good experience. At least this one, you can block from the start. Witcher 2, you couldn't block at the start of the game. Reason why.
It was a little weird.
Yeah, it really sucked shit.
Yeah. Very bizarre.
I tried to get through the first Witcher. I wanted to really like that game, and I kind of did, but I got really tired of all the backtracking and fetch quests.
Mm.
Like, I was getting nowhere very quickly, and I'm like, shut up! No!
The one thing I'll say is that the best mission thread that I've had in that entire game so far is for the Bloody Baron.
Mm.
That is some of the most mature storytelling I have ever seen in the video game medium.
Mm.
It's like, some of it is very unnerving, some of it is very uncomfortable.
This is in what?
In Witcher 3.
Witcher 3, okay.
It's, you know, like, not to spoil too much of this or anything, but I mean, like, it deals with alcoholism... you know, spousal abuse, miscarriages, I mean, it's...
Jeez.
Sounds like it belongs in The Witcher.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I love those like, themes. It's very fucking mature. Like, yeah, if you go back and think about, like, L.A. Noire was the first game that, I mean, you know, dealt with, you know, death by arson and, you know, child molestation and just a lot of that really fucked up stuff that was in that game. It just, it made that game feel mature and macabre and dark and made me genuinely uncomfortable.
I know that you have sex on top of a stuffed unicorn. Like, I know that happens in that game.
I'm not sure if that's like stock or if that... I've heard that enough times that I think that may just happen.
Yeah.
I was kind of curious if that rigs that way. I have not boned yet.
Okay. There you go. I also like the little sparky power because it kind of looks like a fireball you'd see on wrestling. It's like...
Yeah, it totally looks like flame paper.
It does. It looks like flame paper.
Yeah,
that's what's going on.
My buddy calls it his fire poof.
Take that, Griffin.
See, I played some Witcher. I started playing... Shit. I posted about it yesterday.
Hang on. The social media.
I don't want to lie about what the name of this game is. It's free on PlayStation right now. It's one of the PlayStation Plus games.
PlayStation Plus.
No, that's games. For tomorrow, next month. Race the Sun. I would like to get footage of Race the Sun at some point.
Okay.
Race the Sun is weird.
Do you race the Sun, or is the Sun named Race?
It's Race the Sun, not Race, comma, the Sun.
The Sun, yeah, that's what I'm trying to
I've never thought to question the Sun.
All right, then.
It isn't as simple as it initially makes it out to be. Like, every time, basically every run that you do gets you more abilities. But there are no buttons in the game.
Okay.
Wait. There's nothing in the game to push, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you just... The left analog stick is in.
Okay. Oh, you're sideways. It's just a stick control.
Yes. Oh. You are a plane. And you are flying straight. Okay. Like, think the perspective of, like, old Outrun or Afterburner.
Okay.
Where you're just straight and you're just ripping. You don't go up, you don't go down, it's just left and right.
Right.
And cool thing is, if you're going left and then you cut right real quick, he'll do like a little barrel roll.
That's all right.
Which I think is pretty cool.
Yep, that's all right.
Do a barrel roll!
Is it a legit barrel roll or that thing they call a barrel roll?
Alien roll.
Yeah.
A barrel roll means that you
do like a barrel.
It looks like it outlines a barrel. An aileron roll is when you just roll it around the axis.
Do a barrel roll! But yeah, so I played probably about 30 minutes of that. The cool thing is, you just fucking go straight. Mm-hmm. And there will be obstacles in the way. There are also pickups that will get you more points. And the longer you're going, your score continues to climb.
Sure.
And for all the pickups that you get, like, some of them are special abilities, like, it will make you go even faster.
Right.
And you're basically trying to go as long as you can, get into as many speed pickups and everything without touching anything, so that you go until the sun sets.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Race the Sun.
There you go.
And there are certain pickups that make the sun stamp longer and things like that. But yeah, it's really weird. Go download that. It is... It's the most simple game I've ever played, but I was, like, drawn to it.
Is it PS4 only?
It is a PS4-only game. Yeah. The weird thing about it, so I download this game, it's like 150 megabytes. And I had to download a patch for it. That was 150 megabytes.
So, a patch that was the exact same amount as the game itself.
That felt weird.
That is a bit odd.
That is a bit weird. Yeah, so... I played a little bit of Guacamelee. I'm going back to that game. It's a game that I return to like once every few months. I really like that game. I continue to say it'll no longer be free when you're listening to this, but it was free for PlayStation Plus last month.
There you go.
That's about all I really got. And I played a bunch more Mortal Kombat. The game continues to be dope.
Yep. It's a pretty dope game. Yep. All right.
Ground Zeroes is free tomorrow. On PlayStation 4.
Don't bother.
It's free, though.
Just watch that final cinematic on YouTube, and you've seen everything that game has done. That's the whole game.
Oh, you don't want to save Eminem? You know, you got to save Eminem. But anyway. But yeah, that's going to do it for what you've been playing. So that's going to take it on to our topic of...
Main event!
The main event of this podcast, which was... I played Metal Gear Twin Snakes.
Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid, Twin Snakes.
The Twin Snakes.
The Twin Snakes, whatever. The GameCube
Metal
version.
Metal Gear Solid.
I don't care.
The Twin Snakes.
I don't care.
Tactical espionage action.
You don't even care about this either, so here we go. I played the GameCube version of Metal Gear Solid.
Sucks!
It was bad. it looked bad. I know the PlayStation version looks bad, but you equated it saying, that game is 20 years old, this game is about 7. So, like...
Actually, it's about 11 years old.
The cover art is bad, too.
Yeah, it came out in 2004.
Yeah, 10 years after the first game came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, it runs on Metal Gear Solid 2 tech, and you can totally tell.
Yeah.
Weird thing about that is that the game's in...
The hell?
Yeah.
Why is a PlayStation game in a PS2 case?
When they made that, Metal Gear triple pack thing for the PS2. They bundled that with it, and yeah, I think it's kind of cool that I've got a fucking Metal Gear PS1 game in a PS2 case.
PS2 case.
Cool.
Yeah, I just feel like that will be something that's weirdly sought after at some point or another. Yeah,
kind of like the old original PlayStation boxes that were like plastic and the size of a VHS tape.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking big box games.
Yeah,
man.
The big box, yeah.
Remember when CDs came in long boxes?
I do remember
those
that.
Long
yeah.
boxes were dope.
Yeah, they're pretty alright.
Alright, so. I guess before we talk about the Twin Snakes, we kind of need to talk about Metal Gear Solid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coolest game ever?
I guess.
Or coolest game ever?
Coolest game ever.
I
agree with this.
I have never been drawn to the Metal Gear series.
I love Metal Gear. The original stealth action.
Both of you guys.
Tactical espionage. Action.
Both of you guys really enjoy this series.
Cardboard boxes. I hate Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
that game sucks.
Snake Eater!
Oh, it's song.
My biggest experience with Metal Gear Solid, though, was fun.
Like the fear? Whatever his name was, they had the bees.
Yeah, the fear, and then the
not the beast.
The end, the end, and all that. I like the characters in Metal Gear Solid 3, honestly, and Snake Eater. I actually really like all the characters.
People really love the boss fight of the end.
Oh yeah,
Sniper.
Well, because you don't have to beat him. You can just like sit there.
Well, no,
and, like,
I mean
they're
actually fighting him.
Well, yeah, like, thing is, my first experience with Metal Gear Solid. Was way back in the day during the PlayStation 1.
In the Dizzy.
We would go over to our friend's house and we would all just play it, like together. We would like pass the controller around and we would play certain parts in certain areas, etc., etc. And we would just watch this story unfold because there's barely any fucking gameplay before it throws you into 80 minutes of storytelling. Which is insane.
Play MGS4?
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah, well, all of them are like that. Like, every damn one of them are that way. That
you know what I love in Metal Gear Solid 4?
Four's Orange Defender. What's that?
You can pause the cutscenes.
You can pause the cutscenes.
Yes, you can!
You can.
Thank God!
You can pause the cutscenes. You can also... Well, see, the thing is, like I've been playing through Metal Gear Revengeance. That's been up on site, obviously. People know I play that game.
For what, 5 minutes at a time or 10 minutes at a time?
10 minutes at a time, but well, it's more. The episodes are 10 minutes at a time. I don't turn the game off and walk away.
It's just like
back.
That's it. See, I thought that series was gonna be like, you're gonna play like the first 30 minutes of it and then move on to something else.
Oh hell no!
No, you're gonna play the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah,
we're going the whole thing. We haven't played that much of it. Haas seems
20-part series.
Haas seems to think we've been playing this thing for like 40 hours. Well, but I've only played that game recorded 3 hours, okay? So
I feel like I have watched you play that game for like 36 years.
It is not the deal, okay? We lost a lot of recording on it. We lost about 2 hours on it the last time, which is why we haven't returned to it.
Nobody wants to watch it.
What? Oh, thanks. Okay, get the fuck out, Gus. You're done.
Like, that game's pretty great.
I'm into shit.
Anyway, but no, that game's pretty fun.
We've got two new series coming, Gus.
Oh, yeah?
But we do have two new series coming.
I did not know that.
We do have two new series.
Started playing Persona 4.
Yeah.
P4A? Just P4.
Wait, no, wait. Golden.
Gold.
I haven't played any of them.
One for the Vita. I bought a PlayStation TV for the price of $0.
Really?
So we're going to play the Golden.
Wait, you want a PlayStation TV? What?
The thing that's got all the Vita guts in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I've kind of dropped out of the loop here.
And we started playing Mirror's Edge.
Yeah. That's a good game.
So Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear
Solid makes up for not a lot of gameplay in this game that I noticed, honestly. It's kind of frustrating, but what it makes up for is just the unconventionalness in its gameplay. Like, there's just not a lot of conventions that a lot of people think about. There's certain secrets you can get depending on where you're at a certain time, etc., etc., etc. A lot of Easter eggs hidden everywhere. Kojima loves that crap, you know. He frickin' loves to do that to people. And
you know Kojima also loves?
What's that?
Boktai.
Boktai? I don't know what that means.
It was a game he made for the Game Boy Advance that had a sun sensor on it, so you had to play it outside.
You had to play it outside?
To power your character.
See, he's just like that way, man. He's just like, what's a different way that somebody can experience a damn game? That's what he loves to do. And that's commendable in a lot of ways. And that's why I think that game really, really hits its stride, is when you start to see the weird, unconventional ways in which things are played. The most famous of which is changing the controller port to defeat Psycho Mantis. That's, you know,
spoilers.
That, everybody fucking knows that.
The best secret and Easter egg in this game, for me, is when they reference back of the box.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
When you have to find
the CD case, Snake.
When you have to find Meryl's codec number, her actual
140.15, I think.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah.
You have to find her fucking number, and they make a casual reference to back of the box, and they're like, and I'm putting a cardboard box on, you're like, I can't fucking read any of this.
I can't read any of this.
Yeah. But yeah, the way that Kojima does what he do is why this game is important. It's not the gameplay. It's not the cinematics. It's the fact that this is kind of like the personification of like the coolest anime anybody's ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's not a big bummer to me because of the anime-ishness is because it is also half action movie from the 1980s.
Yes, absolutely.
It's, you know, it's very big into the way that it does business.
Yeah.
So let me kind of start from the top here. I'll kind of give a rundown of some of what I feel like are the most important things. I love the fact that at any given time in this game, you can have two items equipped. One on your left inventory, one on your right. The left inventory is health items and, you know, mission critical things that are related to gameplay, card keys, things like that. The your right inventory is all of your stun grenades, chaff grenades, guns, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So at any given time, you have two different things equipped, one of which can be a pack of cigarettes, which I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Because if you're in a 1980s action movie or you're from Japan, you're smoking cigarettes.
You're smoking a cigarette.
So if you're somebody who really doesn't like cigarettes, probably don't go on vacation to Japan. but yeah, so the game is incredibly groundbreaking for its time. It's probably one of the most influential games ever made. And the reasons why are very, very simple. It finally bridged that gap. And it's something that he struggled with ever since this, of managing that gameplay to storytelling balance. There are a lot of cinematics in this game that are roughly about 5 minutes long. For the time, they felt very long. It was like, oh my god, there's a movie in the middle of this game. But it's something that he's gotten way worse with as his budgets have gotten larger. And now he doesn't work for Konami anymore, and maybe that's kind of why, because I bet those cinematics are kind of fucking expensive to make. but yeah, the opening of this game is very distinct.
Yeah.
And it's something that movies did for years and years. It has a late title card. You play the opening sequence of this game as there are just names popping up on screen, like executive produced, like Hideo Kojima, you know, David Hayter, all the voice talent. Like, it was the opening slides for a film.
Yeah.
And as you after you complete the first area, which was the demo for the game originally on those Pizza Hut things.
Yeah.
Once you complete that dock area where you finally get into the game, as the elevator is going up, there's snow is blanketing the landscape. You realize the
doors open and the title card comes up.
And that fucking title card pops on and a Hind D.
it's what's great. Russian gunship doing here?
What's it doing here?
And this game, as opposed to the other games in the series, I hate to say that like a game is better than its sequels because of A, B, or C, but this is better than the other games in the series because everyone in this game that is a boss character is a human fucking being.
Yeah.
You know, like Psycho Mantis, yeah. Weirdest guy in the game.
Yeah.
These people.
But he's human.
He was wrenched on. Yeah. That's why he's weird.
Yeah.
You know, like there is a reason why he is like this.
Yes.
You know, Vulcan Raven, he's just a giant.
Yeah. He's the big dude with a big gun.
Giant shaman. And, it's Revolver fucking Austin.
Snakes don't belong in Alaska.
The fucking scene where you cut off Revolver Ocelot's hand.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. Well, you don't do it. Cyber Ninja does, but.
Yeah.
Gray Fox.
Oh, boy.
Snake.
The fight against Gray Fox in Otacon's office.
Yeah.
If you ask me to like slideshow, you know, out of my brain some of the most like poignant moments in a video game for me ever. Mm-hmm. One of them is when the elevator doors open and you look in the hallway and there's dead bodies and blood on all.
Oh God,
the
walls. I remember that. I remember when I first saw that. It was like,
oh
what
shit,
the hell just happened?
Yeah, this is about to go bad.
Yeah, this can't be right. Did I save? Save the game now.
The game has a lot of elements in it that are like kind of dumb in retrospect, but really made that game mean something at the time. Because it was almost, you know, as you mentioned, like it would, you had to change your controller port to fight Psycho Mantis. It would read saves off of your memory card. Yep. So it's like, I can see that you've played Tecmo's Deception, motherfucker.
I know that! Oh God! He's in my head!
Parappa the Rappa? I don't think he directly referenced Parappa.
I don't think he really referenced that.
But he's like, oh, I can see you're into vampires. Like, yeah, because you play Castlevania. But right. I really liked
the
that.
Konami titles.
Yeah, like, it just made it that much more real. If you had the DualShock controller, he asked you to sit the controller down, and he made it slide across the table by making the controller. It was just cool.
Yeah.
It was something that you had never seen a game do. Another thing that jumps out immediately is the fucking card key that you have to freeze.
Card
key. It's at the very end to activate...
that's right.
The cancel launch sequence for the nukes. You have to take that card key, take it into the area where you fought Vulcan Raven so that it would freeze, and then get back to that launch platform before it thawed.
And
I vaguely remember that.
It's right at the end of the game. I'm not surprised that you don't remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, and there's that great scene. I almost feel like I'm kind of, like, rambling on and on and on about
that's
specific
fine.
Scenes in this
keep
game.
Going, yeah.
Like,
where
there's,
going?
You know, like, when Meryl gets shot by Sniper Wolf.
Yep.
That scene, like, the genuine fucking pathos in that scene.
I will say, that is the thing that I remember most about Metal Gear Solid, is that fight with Sniper Wolf. That is a great fight, a boss fight.
The first time or the second time?
Second one.
The one where you're outside?
Yeah, when we're outside and you beat her. That is one of the best. It's one of the best boss fight scenes ever. It's so good. So that's all I have to say about that.
I totally wanted Sniper Wolf, like, for whatever reason. Her demise feels a lot to me like the end of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I just wanted her to say, like, we'll all disappear like teardrops in the rain.
Completely improvised scene, by the way, that.
You know what? Fucking Rutger Hauer?
Yep.
Give that man an Oscar.
Give that man an Oscar.
Retroactively, give him an Oscar.
Still haven't seen that movie.
That'd be funny if it came.
What are you doing with your life?
That'd be funny if they came out like this year in the Oscars, like, and for Blade Runner. What? What is that happening? Oh man!
Fucking Rennie Harlan's like, hey, you guys seen Die Hard 2?
Just hold on, dude.
So yeah, basically what we're saying: Metal Gear Solid, good game.
I for the time, that is the best looking PlayStation 1 game.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably, it's the best looking game they had on their period. It he found a lot of ways in his technology with that game to overcome so many shortcomings of that platform.
Right.
You know, one of the things that always looks like shit in PS1 games is the shifting textures.
Yeah.
As, like, you know, you'll be, you know, driving games had this the worst, and also, like, games, any game in a first-person perspective on the PlayStation 1, as you would move forward, the textures on the floor, as it would be redrawing them for your perspective, you could see them move back and forth.
Yeah.
And it just makes, especially on, like, HD TVs, if you go back and look at PS1 games and are not equipped for what you're going to be looking at, you're like, God, what the fuck? Like, are all these games broken now? What happened? But yeah, I that is one of the most important video games of all time. It's also, sadly, the last time that Hideo Kojima made a great game.
Mm. Interesting.
I think he's made good games since then.
Right.
Have you ever seen somebody, like, at the height of their form try to replicate that?
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
It's very difficult.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And he's just, his solution to that since then has been to add more. I fucking love the twists in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah.
Oh, toward the end?
Yeah.
Just all of them across the board. Like the fucking, the switcheroo where you're playing as Raiden and, you know, like, I loved it. You know, and the fact that he was a little bit effeminate. And how uncomfortable that made a lot of people that were playing that game. Look, President thought you were girls, bull stump, with should have been Snake in this game.
That whole game takes place on one aircraft carrier, correct?
It's not an aircraft carrier. It's it's on the actual
decontamination facility, the Big Shell.
Oh, okay.
The Big Shell, the first half takes place
the
on
first
a tanker.
Half is on the tanker. Metal Gear. That's what it is. Yeah, the first half's on the tanker, right.
Arsenal Gear.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Ray. I really
Rose
say words from Metal Gear Solid 2, like man with rollerblades and boombox.
Is that the one where Otacon pisses his pants?
No, that's first game.
That's all of them.
I only think he does it on screen in the first
game. You do get pissed on in Metal Gear
Solid. That's right. In 2 he gets pissed on. That's right. Yeah, that's right. There's always a pissing joke with Otacon. He's like Yosuke.
No, it wasn't even Otacon. It was like you. That's right.
Oh, okay.
It's like a dude. You're scooching across this girder on the outside of the
terrible.
Shell.
Yeah.
And there's a guard that's like, oh man, I really gotta go. I can't hold it. And if you stay in the spot, it'll just start pissing over the edge, and he'll actually piss on you.
There
if you
go.
Put.
And you know what I also love about that game?
Pitches the shit on you too.
Slipping in the pigeon shit. On the roof of the Big Shell, there are many spots where you'll see just like a bunch of pigeon shit. And if it happens a lot, if you're like trying to get away from guards, you're just running, you'll slip and fall in it. Oh god!
And the animation is hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Like,
it's very banana peel.
Very, very, very Shaggy from Scooby Doo.
Yes,
isn't it?
It would be what did in the O'Doyles.
Doyle rules.
And Metal Gear Solid 3 is shit. And Metal Gear Solid 4 is pretty fantastic.
That's a controversial statement you just made there. A lot of people people really enjoy
Camo
Snake.
Camo mechanic takes too long. You spend most of that game staring at a menu. The rest of it staring at a codec screen.
Yep.
The twist or the end are really bad. It felt very much like, and now you're the big daddy, that kind of game design philosophy where it's like, and they had a Metal Gear in the 70s? And it just, to me, like, I give that game...
That's the sugar hard.
I give it so many shrug shoulders, man.
Right,
like, just every decision in that, I just felt like it...
That's the Hoss rating. 4 shrug shoulders.
That, it was totally like that fucking Star Wars Episode 1 thing where it's like, Anakin made the C-3PO. They were all here, and there's a guy who's kind of like Otacon, but he's not the same. And Revolver, you knew him, but you guys, he was still, you were, and now you're the big daddy.
And that's Metal Gear Solid 3.
That's Bioshock.
Yeah.
It's a good theme song, though.
Snake Eater.
I really love how you do that.
How'd you feed on a tree frog?
God damn it. That game was
so
bad. Metal Gear Solid 4 is dope.
Metal Gear Solid 4 is dope. You like that one.
Never finished that one either.
The stealth sequence in that game in the nighttime London streets is really good. And the best... That game has the best cinematic I have ever seen in a video game ever. And after I talk about this, we can move on to something else.
Right.
But there is a scene in Metal Gear Solid 4 that you
have... The last one?
Huh?
The last one?
No.
That's like cookies in it 45 minutes?
No. Halfway through this game, there is a sequence where you do a nighttime stealth mission in London, and... Otacon, I mean not Otacon, but Revolver Ocelot finally has the key to shut off all military weaponry on the planet.
Okay.
And so you and everybody else, the cavalry comes in, there's all these helicopters in the sky and all these guys with guns, and Ocelot's sitting on a boat and he just points his finger at everybody.
Yeah.
And does a finger gun pull.
Right.
All the helicopters fall out of the sky and none of the guns work.
That's the end of the game.
And he just fucking... That's halfway through that game.
It's halfway through?
That is halfway
what? No,
through
what?
That's
halfway through that game. I swear that was the extended cutscene.
No, no, that is halfway. Because you still gotta go to the fucking boat where they're fucking all those dead presidents and shit. Spoilers.
Dead Presidents, the band?
No, that was a movie.
That was a movie.
You're thinking of the Presidents of the United States
of America who did Peaches. Yeah, that's right.
Who were really good friends with Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oddly enough, that was a weird little...
There you go.
Are they all from Cleveland?
That doesn't surprise me. I don't know.
Are they all from Cleveland? Is Sir Mix-a-Lot from Cleveland? I don't know.
I don't know, but he's way into the song Monster Mac.
Yeah, so there you go. So there you go. That's a rundown of... the Metal Gears you like.
The Twin Snakes sucks.
You don't like Twin Snakes.
Alright.
You equated that to...
Twin Snarks?
Twin Snarks. You equated that to drinking a fart?
Yeah. The Metal Gear the Twin Snakes is a game that... the existence of it is not even acknowledged by Hideo Kojima.
Yes, he does not even enjoy that game.
This game was fostered out of a partnership between Nintendo and Konami... for game development. This was at the time when the GameCube had just signed on. There was the Capcom 4.
Yeah.
Where they had gotten Resident Evil 4, Piano 3.
Yeah.
Beautiful Joe.
Yeah.
And Killer 7.
Killer 7.
As exclusives. They'd locked those down. So they were doing their best to hit all their bases in Japan to get exclusive games lined up.
Yeah.
So... this game was designed to run on the Metal Gear Solid 2 technology. That game was completed in 2001. Soon after that, Nintendo asked about bringing Metal Gear Solid 2 to the platform. But what ended up happening was that Silicon Knights, who'd gone on to be relatively infamous, hot off the success of Eternal Darkness, were chosen to remake the original Metal Gear Solid. Basically by dropping assets into the engine for Metal Gear Solid 2. So they did a lot of pluck and pull of assets from there and reskinned and added a lot of texture work to them. It's why the game looks real bad. And I mean this in a nice way. That game looks terrible. For this game to come 3 years after Metal Gear Solid 2... It looks so much worse than Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, it does.
And the amount of work that Silicon Knights actually did in this is incredibly minimal.
Yeah.
Like, all of the 3D models that were being used in the codecs for Metal Gear Solid 2 don't exist here. There's still the drawn art from the PS1 game.
Right.
They bring along... Like, all the voice acting is still here, so that part's fine.
Yeah.
But really, all of my issues from this are from a gameplay perspective and a graphical perspective. The cinematics in here, having people, like, half-heartedly be lip-synced looks way worse than if they didn't move their mouths fucking at all.
Yeah.
It looks rotten. God, we were watching the Dark Achieve and Snake talk to each other, and it looked like he was having a stroke.
They look terrible.
Bark, 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 terrible. He was barking at him. I wasn't really sure. And granted, this is in an era before lip syncing was something that was
perfected,
widely heralded as a success, but Metal Gear Solid 2 did it pretty goddamn well.
Yeah. And this is after Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah.
So, you know.
One of the other issues that I have with this game is that they added in a first-person perspective to this game, so you can shoot in first-person.
Right.
Which helps you kind of get away from the fact that this game uses locked perspectives for camera, much in the same way that a game like Resident Evil did, although this game uses its locked camera to frame scenes as opposed to... compensate for the fact that they had pre-rendered backgrounds like Resident Evil did.
Right.
This game is, you know, is and always has been rendered in 3D as opposed to the pre-rendered look that was kind of the hotness back in the 90s. The issue that I have with adding the first-person shooting sequence ability is that it breaks the Ocelot fight.
Oh, does it? So you can just... How does it break it?
Yeah, you know how, like, the Ocelot fight, how he, like, kind of runs around?
Uh-huh. It just breaks his...
You can just fucking shoot him.
Oh, wow.
He's going first person. Yeah, I can see him. He's right there.
Why couldn't you do that from the other perspective? Just because...
You can't see him. He's too far.
He's too far away.
No, he won't fit into the camera.
Gotcha. So, okay.
And it made that fight, especially the first time he did it, kind of tricky.
Right, yeah.
And in this one, it's just like, great, I'll just go into first person and just fucking dump on this guy for a minute. And bam, we're done.
Dump him for a few minutes.
And, like, that's just one of the many... This game doesn't feel very play-tested. It feels like just a half-hearted, limp effort.
Right.
And it's no surprise that after this game came out that Metal Gear Solid 2 never came to the platform.
Yeah.
Because it's just... Hideo Kojima hates this game.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the production values, and he also hates the fact that they took a lot of liberties when they redid the cinematics in this game.
Yeah.
They added, like, if Metal Gear Solid skirts the line between 80s action and anime, that's just an anime.
Yeah.
Nah.
Like, it's just...
Falls off the side and just falls right into the anime pit.
It's just, you're in there, man. There's fucking weeboos everywhere. Like, oh, weeboos all over me.
The weeboos all over me.
Sniper waifu.
Well, like you said, they added in Liquid Snake at the beginning sequence, like, talking.
They did?
Yeah. Like, in the beginning sequence, you can see Liquid Snake, like, get onto the elevator.
And he totally talks.
And he totally speaks, so it's the same voice of Winnie's master and all that stuff. And it's like... What the, like...
If you remember, you know, in the first game...
I guess because the surprise is already gone, people were playing this, already played the first one, I don't know. I don't get the reasoning behind that.
If you remember, in the first game, when...
He doesn't speak at the beginning of the first game. Does
he
doesn't.
Does not, no.
In the original game, you get out of the water, you see a man in a white coat in the elevator, and the elevator goes up, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is presumably Liquid, because he gets in the high knee and flies away. That's the guy that's getting in the chopper as soon as the elevator gets to the top. So they took liberties everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like every fight, like, you know, if, you know, when Snake goes to grab the gun from Meryl.
Yeah.
She, like, they do this, like, rotating back and forth, like, you know, stupid choreography thing that they didn't do originally, and it just looks dumb.
I remember that, because it depended on whether you actually had a gun or not. Because yes. If you didn't have a gun, you grab the barrel.
Yep.
Right, yeah.
Barrel, and if you did one, you just pull out and just aim at her.
Interesting, yeah.
And there's just all this stuff that's added in there just for the sake of flair. But the problem is, if you're going to add a flair to something, you have to, you got to nail it. You know, that's the real thing, is that, like, when it comes down to, like, remakes of films or spiritual successors to films, anything in this vein, no matter what the medium is, it's like if you got a remaster of a Beatles album and you find out that it's recorded by Van Halen, you'd be pretty pissed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how much you like Panama.
Right.
Panama's pretty rad.
Yeah.
More of an eruption guy myself.
Yeah, alright. Eruption's nothing wrong with eruption.
It kind of reminds me when I was looking for AC/DC on Google Play the other day, and there's just nothing there for Google Play.
They don't sell anything digitally.
No, I didn't know that. I found what I thought was an AC/DC thing. I started listening to it, and about halfway through the song I went, this isn't AC/DC. This is some fucking tribute band.
That's why...
This is just Direct Current. What the fuck?
That's why AC/DC, that Rock Band Track Pack, was only at Walmart, only sold on disc, and you couldn't import the songs into your regular playlist.
Oh, shit.
Was because they won't sell anything digitally ever.
Hmm.
And...
one of their bandmates is a murderer. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But Gus, what do you got to add about Metal Gear, man? I feel like I
actually kind of came into this thinking I was going to talk about the NES Metal Gear.
Oh, God damn it!
But then we talked about Metal Gear Solid. I'm like, Metal Gear Solid's pretty rad. I'm just going to roll with it.
You didn't specify this with him at all, did you?
You said Metal Gear, and I was like, yeah, Metal Gear Solid's pretty dope.
But actually, I'm kind of glad we started talking about Solid because I don't remember a whole lot about the NES one.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, I'm going to have a lot to talk about. Then we started talking about Metal Gear Solid. I'm like, okay, maybe I have a little more to say.
If you've got that Metal Gear HD collection,
The Legacy Collection? Yeah, it's all on there. Yeah.
That disc that has 2 and 3 on it, it's the subsistence version of 3 that has the MSX Metal Gear 1 and MSX Metal Gear 2.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
That's the canon Metal Gear 1 and 2. NES Metal Gear is pretty close.
Snake's Revenge
is not made canon. Yeah. By the devil. It's a bad game. It's not canon. It's dumb. It's bad. It's not good. It's awful.
Got that one guy on the cover. I forget. He looked like, I can't remember the guy's
fucking
name.
Blonde bandana man. I was like, this isn't Snake. What the fuck?
Listen, that's nice.
That's my new wrestling gimmick, is blonde bandana man.
Blonde bandana man. There you go.
Although I'd be, you know,
you're a man with no bandana on this guy.
You're a man of gimmicks.
It'd give the crowd the opportunity to call me Banana Man.
Oh, yeah. That'd be all right.
I'll be like, gosh, show my banana to your wife!
Yeah.
You loser!
Hey, it's PG now. You can't do that. So.
I remember when I kind of got away from... when I got away from the PlayStation, when I became an Xbox guy, really, I never did buy a PS3 until, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I never did play MGS4. And when I did come back to play MGS4, I had been spoiled by Splinter Cell.
Right.
For years.
An actual stealth game.
Well, a game.
A game.
Yeah. And I got to be like this, Splinter Cell, yes! I'm still a huge Splinter Cell fan. Came in with the next one whenever they decided to make it.
Yeah.
But,
is still Michael Ironside in that game?
No.
Everybody was raised shit about that. And I was kinda fuck like, whatever. And after playing it...
I'm kind of glad they got rid of drunk Michael Ironside, though.
Was he phoning it in towards the end there?
Fuck, man. In Conviction, he sounded so drunk. Who killed my daughter?
Who killed my daughter?
Who killed my daughter?
Jester's dead. Jester's dead. Wait.
I love Conviction. I thought it was great. The guy that got... I think it was the guy that was in Rookie Blue or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
It was kind of weird. I'm used to him now. He's all right. But one thing I wasn't really hooking on to was that Sam is like in his 50s. He sounds like, this guy sounds like he's like 38.
Right, yeah.
I'm like,
like, need more gravelly coming out of you. More snakish, more hater.
Like, he looks like he just like regressed about 20 years.
Yeah.
Looks and sounds like,
well,
whatever.
When they initially unveiled that game, not to get completely off the wheels here,
right,
but when they initially unveiled that game, they said this is effectively a reboot. And... then, like, people got really mad, and they were like, oh, there's no Michael Ironside, and all this other stuff. So I feel like, to appease people, they fit it into the canon,
but they just didn't redesign
everything.
Yeah.
It's like, it's still the same basic game and structure, but they just tied it back to the old story threads here and there. Because its connection, if you really are playing that game, I mean, other than fourth or fifth echelon or whatever the
fourth
fuck...
Fifth echelon, yeah. Which I thought was kind of dopey.
Other than that little... that tiny thread to what the resolution of Conviction was, there's really not any connection to those old games.
There isn't.
Other than my daughter's missing.
There's a couple of throwbacks to the previous stories. A couple of some tie into it.
Yeah.
They don't really go in depth on it.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I said, I've been on Splinter Cell for a long time, and I go back and I start to play, like, Metal Gear, awesome, let's play some Metal Gear.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a stealth game?
How does this happen?
I can't hide in shadows. I'm like, I'm still standing up, and I just walked by, it's like back to basics almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't help that in that game you can totally just shoot your way through the entire game.
Yes,
it never matters.
Yeah.
And you never
fail a mission from getting spotted.
And it takes like 5 hours for an alert to go away. I kind of just put it away.
Yeah.
And I never finished it, but I kind of like watched some more of it.
Yeah.
And that's not a backhanded hint at that it's half a movie.
Right, yeah.
But I've actually watched a lot of folks play it, like, on Twitch or whatever.
It's true.
Like, you know, maybe I can get back into playing this again.
Yeah.
It's worth seeing the end of. And, like, 17 hours into the final cinematic, I feel like, is when you should probably just turn it off. There's a couple of stingers at the end of that. Mm-hmm. That are real fucking dumb. I won't ruin them for you, but there are a couple of things where they're like, oh, but what about this? Where you're like, dude, fuck, I have to go.
I gotta talk to my family.
It was like 4 a.m. when I was finishing this, and my buddy Josh was in town, and I just looked over at him, like, after an hour of this dumb bullshit that was unfolding, I was like, dude, like, feel like we've crossed a line here. He's like, yep.
If there's anything they love in the Metal Gear run, it's crossing that line a couple of times over with their inane, banana, crazy shit storylines. So
outside of Splinter Cell, what other stealth games do you enjoy?
That's a difficult question to answer. I don't know if I played all. Well, Assassin's Creed, if you count that as stealth, it's more like hiding in plain sight kind of stealth.
Right.
But, which reminds me, I still have to play Assassin's Creed Unity. I haven't played it yet.
It's definitely
stealth.
Don't
really bother.
I got it free on my console, so.
It's definitely stealth, I would call it.
I got Rogue as well. I haven't played that either. But
that one's better than Unity.
Yeah.
Is it?
Still got boats in it.
The boats were pretty rad. I played four Black Flag to full completion, 100% of that game.
Yeah.
Four's pretty rad.
And,
you know what's fucked up about four on the Xbox One?
To
get 100% in that game, you have to do like a lot of the community challenges. They took that part offline, so you can't actually get the achievement for hitting 100%.
It's just like, psych!
And he took it off like 2 months after it came out. My buddy was trying to finish it. He was like, what the fuck?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Good lord, that's really dumb. like, you know, this integral part of the game that you need to complete it completely 100%. I just gotta take that offline real quick.
I was a fan of, like, You Don't Know Jack, the quiz show.
Oh, I love that game.
And,
That's something I've been playing. Back to what you've been playing, I'm playing You Don't Know Jack. And the lying game that comes from those
Fibbage.
Guys. Fibbage. Freaking love that game. Fabulous.
Nice. But I went to go. It's like, you know what? I think we're gonna grab the rest of those packs for the Jack packs for the game.
Sure.
If I took the game off the marketplace.
Oh, of course.
And I was like, when I went to go grab the rest of those DLC, it was like 3 weeks after the company went under and they had to pull it from the marketplace, so you couldn't get them anymore. I was like,
jeez.
I can never get the rest of the achievements in that game.
Ugh, that's brutal. Like, can't get those chivos, man.
Like, I should have just bought all of them when I had the chance. Just like,
be like me, man.
Instead of scourging $5 for a DLC, here, what's that?
Be like me. Mm-hmm. Just let go.
Just let go. Just let go.
Once you finally let go, man, feels real good.
I haven't gone back to it since.
That's why I play on my PlayStation. There's no achievements there. I don't give a shit.
Are you talking about pooping? Just let go.
Yeah.
Just let go. You feel way better.
Ruin Brandon's couch.
That's the reason I've kind of shifted over to PC a lot lately. That's
right.
Because when I got into speedrunning Halo back in December.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, yep.
Yeah.
PC.
There you go.
I had to play Kerbal Space Program, and I have all these Steam games. I'm just like, you know what? Kind of, and then with Metal Gear Solid 5 coming out this year, it's going to be on PC as well. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I want to get it on PC.
There you go. Well, to sum it up, Metal Gear, a very prolific, very prevalent game series in the realm of gaming, and Twin Snakes is an abomination of said series. Even recognized by the creator himself.
Nanomachines.
Yeah, just nanomachines. It's nanomachines.
Genome soldiers.
Midichlorians. Is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much what nanomachines boils down to. It's like, why is Metal Twin Snakes bad? Yeah.
Nanomachines.
Nanomachines.
Did you ever watch that fucking trailer from E3 last year from Metal Gear Solid 5?
No, I never did.
It's fucking... There's like this butt rock song under it. Where this guy's like, I'm nuclear! Oh, and there's this fucking part where all these... all your soldiers die... And fucking, you know, boss looks at the camera and says, we'll burn them. We'll make diamonds out of their ashes. We are diamond dogs. And then he just, like, puts human ash on his face. They're like, well, I guess I gotta play that stupid fucking game.
What is that?
Oh, man.
It's like, dude, that's humans you're breathing.
It's like, you gotta say one thing, but then you have to say something equally this to kind of tie it in and somehow make sense of it. And yeah. It just becomes this whole dog. Be like,
yeah. And it's Kiefer fucking Sutherland saying this dumb shit.
Yeah.
And I well,
he has a very sexy voice, so at least it sounded really nice.
Well, I'm kind of confused.
Yeah.
And I hope this isn't the case.
Yeah.
I've got a big fear that he's, based on the amount of speaking that I've seen in the trailers from Kiefer Sutherland and what was not in or not in Ground Zeroes,
mm-hmm.
from a content perspective of Kiefer Sutherland's voice, I don't think fucking Boss is going to talk very much in this game. Like,
and they got Kiefer Sutherland, Jack fucking Bauer to do this.
Well, they can't afford like 7 months out of him like David Hayter. It's like, oh, just go live with Hideo for a while.
he'll tell you what to say.
We'll never know if this Kiefer Sutherland switch for fucking Big Boss was part of his plan.
Yeah.
To make him talk to each other?
Can talk to each other?
Right, have David Hayter talk to Kiefer Sutherland, yeah.
So, I think it would be badass.
Because this is Big Boss, correct, in this game?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
Kiefer Sutherland.
The lace on Fontainebleau.
Like, that's pretty funny.
That would be badass. They go back and remake Metal Gear 1.
Yeah, right. And just like have
yeah, not solid Metal Gear 1.
Yes,
where Boss gets his.
Dim NES game.
And just bring the whole series full circle.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I know we're going on with this a bit long.
Now you're fine.
But
one last
that's
thing.
The other weird thing about this game is that
Twin Snakes, you mean?
No, Metal Gear.
Oh, Metal Gear, okay.
In Solid, the first game.
Right.
It's like fucking years after.
Yes. The original
Metal Gear?
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, we still got, like, Boss's body with us, and we're, like, pulling DNA out of it to make these soldiers.
It's like Jurassic Park Metal Gear.
Yeah, and, like, all these soldiers are, like, half retarded.
All right, you're spilling government secrets in there. Stop doing that. What are you doing?
It was the best scene. So, like,
whose footprints are these?
Whose footprints are these?
We're playing the Twin Snakes, and, you know, so he gets into the DARPA chief's cell.
Yeah.
And the DARPA chief is just going to town telling him all kinds of government secrets.
After they man posture. First, like, huh? Who are you?
They're like chests swelling at each other for a while. It's like walking in circles.
Like the world's most interesting man.
Yeah, they're just, yeah.
Like, I don't always infiltrate the secret complexes.
Yeah.
What do I do?
It's like if they had no pants on, they would just be measuring dicks at that moment.
So, and the DARPA chief just starts unloading all these government secrets to Snake about, like, well, Big Boss was doing this, and now this, yeah, it's out of control. And this guard walks by and just bangs on the door and goes, hey, shut up in there!
I remember that. Like, he doesn't put it together that he's having a conversation in this place. It's like, hey, knock it off in there.
Hey, stop talking to yourself about all those government secrets that we're not supposed to. We haven't even tortured you yet. We need to get those. Don't fuck this up for me. I only get to torture people like once a month.
Oh, man. But yeah, it's a weird little Star Wars special edition type thing. It's just like, somebody wanted to do it, and the fans didn't like it. So it's like
Rising. Rising got a lot of split.
Yeah,
Rising's way out there in the future.
Yeah,
beyond all that stuff.
Yeah,
I love Rising.
I never played it. I mean, I've watched few of the
videos.
I've watched a few of the videos.
Rising is just kind of like, it's a different animal, at least.
Yeah, and then, it's
and it's a completely new thing. It's not like, oh, we went back and put special... We put a couple of dewbacks in the background for you. Nobody fucking cares, George. Like, nobody gives a shit.
You know? Change the graphics on
it. But you're enjoying it, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Revengeance?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love Revengeance.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no, Satellite?
Rising Revengeance.
Rising Revengeance.
That's the game.
That's, okay, I was going to think of my... That's not two games.
No, no, no. It's the same. It's the same game. Yeah, it's a, but you know, I'm enjoying Revengeance. I think it's great. This Solid is just, or Solid Twin Snakes is just kind of like, oh, here's some dewbacks in the background. Enjoy that.
Yeah, who wouldn't love a game?
Pixelated dewbacks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Cut pussy.
Cut pussies in this one.
But yeah, the final thing I'll say is that, you know, we talk a lot about games and the specific platforms that they appear on.
Yes.
It's always one thing that I always like to touch base on. This is the reason that the game market changed.
That game specifically?
This game.
Okay.
Is this and Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
Are what, 3 years after two, 3 years after.
Yeah.
These games are why the Nintendo 64 never caught on.
Okay. Yeah.
Like,
oh, the original, not Twin Snakes, the original.
No, the original Metal Gear Solid.
Gotcha.
And
because you're holding the Twin Snakes box, so I'm kind of
caught up beyond GoldenEye, Mario Kart.
Right. Yeah.
Mario 64.
Yeah, and that system sold fairly well, but I mean the PlayStation 1 sold 100 million units.
Yeah.
I think the 64 sold like 35.
Yeah.
There's a pretty wide canyon in there. So, and for an upstart company like your Sony's of the world to throw their hat in the ring and be able to completely redefine the way that the game works.
Right.
With mature game experiences, it was pretty earth-shattering.
Yeah.
At the time, I had a buddy who bought a PlayStation when they first came out because he really had to play Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
And I thought he was crazy. And 6 months later, I bought one.
Yeah.
When Resident Evil came out, I bought a PlayStation.
There you go.
A big box and all. I still have that copy of that game. But, you know, this is... the Resident Evil.
Oh, Resident Evil. Okay.
My first PlayStation 1 game.
Mm-hmm.
But this is... You know, Metal Gear Solid is one of the most important games of all time. You know, a lot of stuff has come and gone since then. You know, there are a lot of series that were like, you know, big time blockbusters that have risen up and fallen in the time period since then. Splinter Cell. It really kind of shot up out of nowhere and then just vanished.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we'll see Splinter Cell.
And then
made
a cameo and then kind of vanished again.
Yeah.
And yeah, they had two games in pretty short succession there and then gone again.
Yep.
But yeah, its time is definitely closing. Metal Gear Solid, we're near the end here.
Yeah.
But for the reboot of the series is nearly 20 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
Since Solid. And, you know.
That's why.
What a game.
Yep.
That's why I came in here thinking, it's like, well, so we're going to talk about the NES one, but then when we started talking about Solid, I'm like, wait, oh my God, it has been 21 years.
Yeah, it's been forever. Time has gone.
Oh my God!
I freaked out. We're recording this on the 31st of May, and I freaked out the other day when I'm like, "It's the end of May of 2015."
It's been almost 30 years from the first Metal Gear.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it 87, 86?
What was 87?
87. Yeah. So okay. It's
the MSX.
We're old. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. So you know. So there you go. But that's
I'll stay here and we're here in the pool of denial here.
Yeah.
Well, after all the shit that we gave Konami the last couple of weeks because all the garbage they've been doing.
Yeah.
It's nice to say something positive about Konami, but you know, I mean, outside of a Castlevania episode, I don't know what else I really have to say about Konami. I mean, most of their biggest franchises, they're just not doing anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be making games with them.
Silent Hill's pretty much vanished.
Yeah.
I hope the last nail's in that coffin. I don't want to
So, there was a, anymore, did you hear the rumor the other day that like that Microsoft was trying to get that? Well, Phil Spencer said no.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, okay, good luck with that.
No. Let it die, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Let Silent Hill vanish into... the grave.
Yeah,
he was so good though.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, let
Poopy trousers.
Let PT
put them tame.
Let PT be the swan song. You know, it's like it kind of is this weird anomaly. It's a strange little collectible
now. Little tech demo.
Yeah, it's a strange.
Which, by the way, you can't get anymore. You can't get even anymore. If you deleted it, you can't re-download it.
Can't re-download it ever. Which is why PlayStations were being sold for thousands of dollars with a copy of it on the hard drive.
eBay was canceling those auctions.
Were they?
Really?
Yep.
Oh. Interesting. Why
because
is that?
I technically, guess technically...
you're reselling a copy of the game.
Well, you're reselling something that you don't technically own.
It's... See, that's hard to...
You cannot resell digital software.
It's true, you can't, but what if you didn't mention it? Or specifically mentions, like, there's content on here. So it's like, this is a specific version. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just saying.
Well, it's, that
can't
like
prove that.
It sounds like those people that used to... cheat in Halo 3.
Yeah,
if you just changed your console settings to your console language settings to Italian, the game didn't come out there yet, so everybody would go there to boost. So everybody just called speaking Italian. I always thought that was pretty all right.
That's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, we were speaking Italian.
Yeah, I think that Konami's not going to be making games again. You know, after Metal Gear 5, like, what do they have left?
They are making games. Yeah. They're making slot machines.
Yeah. That's
well, they make Pro Evolution Soccer.
Yeah. It's just like...
That's one of the biggest games in the world.
It's just like there's not much else that they do that they're going to, like, hold on to it.
Well, the Japanese games industry, I mean, you know, I don't like ringing the death bell or anything, and I feel like we've been talking about this for a really long time, but they're in the flux that... you know, that the American games industry went through a few years back when the economy went really bad. Their economy's just now starting to get really rotten again. And, you know, I mean, companies like Capcom and Tecmo Koei and, you know, a lot of these, you know, Nippon Ichi and, fucking NIS and a lot of these Japanese companies are having really, really bad goes of it. And if it wasn't for Monster Hunter, I don't think Capcom would be a company anymore. And I don't know who's going to make it out. It's going to be a bloodbath over there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the strategies that Japan used to use was that if your company had fallen on bad times, you merged with another company, and we're running out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing to merge with anymore. No,
like Square already merged with Enix. You know, Namco merged with Bandai. You know,
there's no more fusion dances to go around here. It's just
Sega merged with Sammy.
Yeah, so there you go. So now they're all gonna like conglomerate into one company, I guess.
Nintendo to leave the hardware market.
Square Enix Sega. Square Enix Sega Namco Bandai.
Namco Bandai Namco Games.
Bamco Namguy Squeenix.
But that's going to do it for this edition of Video Struck Podcast. Gus, thanks for being on.
Hey, I'm glad to be here again.
Haas, always.
Yeah,
absolutely. Haas, always a pleasure.
Let's go play some Spelunky, you guys.
Yeah, since you have that now. So, yay!
Yay!
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.